He's never late. He's always on time. Amen. And I still love Dr. Barber's quote. I don't know where he got it from, but has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? And he knows exactly where you're at, what's going on in your life. I want to apologize. We're not going to be in Philippians tonight, so just turn to Luke chapter 17. That's all I'm going to say. I'm building up the suspense for Philippians again is what I'm doing, getting ready. So, Luke's chapter 17. Just a simple message tonight on faith. We see here the disciples asking the Lord for more faith. Chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Well, how many of us would do that? Somebody does something against us a few times, seven times in a day, and you're still to forgive them. That's the Lord's words, amen? Notice what the apostles had, the same reaction that you're having. They said, verse 5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, how are we to do this? How are we to, you know, to forgive our, yeah. And I'm going to read the rest of it, but he does give somewhat of an explanation. It is an explanation. He says, you know, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could do anything. Then he goes on to say, pretty much he says, this is just the right thing to do. We're not asking you to do anything above and beyond. This is what's right. He explains about, I can see all y'all looking, let's read it. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will you not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? So your servant goes out, he works in the field. Are you going to say to him after he's done that, sit down and eat? No, you're going to say to him, fix me a dinner. Let me sit down and eat. You're going to fix it. You're going to eat afterwards. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Does he thank him because he does that which is commanded of him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It is our duty to forgive. It's our duty. He said, I'm not asking you anything above and beyond. This is what's required of a servant. And this is what you should do. It's your duty. Pretty simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you with the realization that we are inadequate. And we do pray this evening that you would increase our faith, that we may follow the Lord Jesus' steps. We thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you can tell, the disciples definitely felt inadequate and felt like they were unable to do what the Lord had commanded here. And so they asked the question to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, Lord, help us. Increase our faith that we may be able to obey and do what you have commanded. You know, so many times we feel inadequate when it comes to situations, parenting. I think about parenting. It's the grace of God that we as parents, that kids turn out to be anything good in this day and age. Isn't it really? I mean, we have a few things and we plug in those things, the biblical principles, but really it comes down to it. It's the grace of God. The grace of God. And we pray for wisdom in parenting, but so feel so inadequate. I know the teenagers may not think that, but we as parents feel so inadequate. We think about sometimes our jobs or our teaching in a Sunday school class or whatever it may be, and really just being a Christian, we feel so inadequate. We need the help of the Lord. We need that faith. We need to be strengthened. Why? Because Christ has set the standard so high. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a high standard, isn't it? and that we're to follow in His steps. We can't do that. We need the faith and the power through the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. We are inadequate. And that's what the disciples were feeling. And so just a simple message tonight on how can we increase our faith? How can we increase our faith? We know that Paul exhorted us to grow in our faith. And so we'll think about that tonight. Growing in our faith. Growing in our faith. Number one, how do we grow in faith? And a lot of these are simple. Reading the Word of God. Reading and hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's hearing the Word of God. It's reading the Word of God. Even in music, as we think about a song that is doctrinally sound and biblically sound, we hear the Scriptures and songs will increase our faith. We think about, again, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A little illustration about, Paul used a lot of illustrations, but one of the great illustrations he used was sports. We think about training. In other words, in order to compete in any event, a lot of training has to take place. A lot of growing has to take place. And so you have to be, in order to run a marathon, in order to compete in football, whatever it may be, there has to be training that takes place. And this training takes discipline. Hello. Takes discipline. If you're going to train for an event, if you're going to train for a sporting event, it's going to take discipline. Hello. It's going to take discipline. It means you're going to have to get up early. It means you're going to take time to train. And whatever it is, if it's running, which I can't stand. Short distances are fine, you know, that 40 yards or whatever. But anything beyond that's bad. My older brother and my sister, younger sister, were both long-distance runners. I am not, and nor will ever be, a long-distance runner. I was not built for it. But training must take place, a lot of training. If you're going to train for an event, whatever event that may be, eating habits play in. In other words, you have to control, or you have to actually eat more to compete, and sometimes that requires a lot of discipline. A lot of discipline. When I was lifting weights early in my, early on in life, there were requirements and a lot of training. I lifted 2-3 hours a day my senior year and enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed lifting weights, and a lot of training took place. But one thing about training for powerlifting, you could just about eat whatever you wanted to. But I know my dad wrestled in high school. And he was required to be on a certain diet, and he had to be down a certain weight. And so there's lots of things that take place in that. Discipline. This is not said a lot in churches today. I know we say it, but I'm saying in Christianity, yes, grace plays a great part. And grace, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's there. But some of it's us. And we need to put ourselves in a position where God can make us spiritual. We need to put ourselves in a position where God can increase our faith. And if we're going to do that, it requires some discipline. It requires some discipline. That means it requires some discipline to read our Bibles. To read our Bibles when we don't want to. To be disciplined to do that. Again, we think about the Word of God is our milk. The Word of God is our meat. In fact, the Bible speaks about meat and strong meat. The Bible speaks about it being our bread. It's what feeds us. And if we're going to grow, it's our food that helps us to grow. I know we've heard that 1,000 times, but it's simplicity in all of its doctrine. If you're going to grow as a Christian, then you're going to have to read the Word of God. You're going to have to listen to the Word of God being spoken and being preached. That is going to enable you to grow in your faith. Lord, increase our faith. How do we do that? Through reading and hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, training takes discipline. Training takes discipline. Training takes time. And we need to put into our schedule the reading of the Word of God. A personal daily walk with the Lord, that we might walk with Him. Walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. We need to feed the Spirit and starve the flesh. We need to spend time with God. Read the Word of God. I know we've heard that 1,000 times. It's my duty and my job to exhort the church to have a daily Bible reading. If you're just going to be a Christian on Sunday and Wednesday night, boy, you have fallen way short. And by the way, you won't experience that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We ought to live it every day. And read our Bibles. Number two, in increasing our faith, and these are, again, simple stuff, but trials increase our faith. That sounds so strange, doesn't it? Trials increase our faith. The storms of life increase our faith. As we triumph over adversity, it increases our faith. It increases our faith. I think about the disciples as they went across the Sea of Galilee. On two different occasions, a storm came up. And one of them, Jesus walked out to them on the water. One of the times he was asleep in the back of the ship. But both times we see Jesus Christ do such a wonderful miracle. And it's amazing the disciples' reaction to that. Oh, ye of little faith. And their faith was much increased. It's amazing how that adversity would bring about for them. Of course, they saw a great miracle and triumph there, a growth in them. I think about the catching of the fish, 153 one time, a miracle of God, and another time they cast their nets, and the nets were almost broken. Remember the stories? I'm not going to go through all those, but just think about the impact it had on those disciples and how it grew their faith. Just a reminder that trials increase our faith. I'm going to use the sports analogy, that when you're training for an event, if you're training and you're training hard, at some point you're going to get hurt. It doesn't matter what sport it is. At some point you're going to get hurt, and so in that trial, in training, it's about getting back up. It's about licking the wounds and keep going. It's about getting back to the weights or getting back to the running and getting back to training. And sometimes we go through trials and we go through that. I was very good, always good at pulling my quad muscle. Hamstring. Always good at pulling my hamstring. It was my favorite muscle to pull. And as an adult, some of the older, I think Kai and maybe some of the others got to witness that one time at camp, on the way to camp. We were going to Silver State. We stopped at our normal place to eat. We got out of the vans, and some of the younger teenagers, those junior seniors, were running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And I said to them, Kyle, were you there? I said to them, I bet I can outrun you. I said, but I get to pick the distance. It's always about the distance. I can't do that now, by the way, but this is probably 10 years ago. I said, I get to pick the distance. Well, I took off, and I was in the lead, and I would have won. There's not a doubt. But I pulled a hamstring so bad that I face-planted into the ground. I've done that on two different occasions. Another time, I did it with the Pee Wee football. Kaylee was in Pee Wee football in Springtown, and the kids were all running afterwards. And I said, I bet I can beat y'all. And I took off and pulled a hamstring. Anyway, that had nothing to do with anything in training. It's a good story. It's funny. It's a funny story. But at some point, if you're training for a race, you're going to pull something. You're going to hurt something. And you just got to get back up. And can I tell you, in real life, you're going to hurt something. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. He didn't say maybe you would. You will. So we all experience these trials. We all experience tribulation in our life. And we need to lick our wounds and get back up. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, it's like gold that's tried in the fire. It's there to bring glory to God as we get tried in the fire. And it just kind of melts out those impurities. God's just refining us in the fire. Refining us in the fire. He's growing our faith. He's growing our faith. And there's many other scriptures I could turn to. So when you're going through that trial, it's hard to thank Him and to praise Him in the trials and in the tribulations, but knowing that that's going to increase your faith. Number three, victories increase our faith. In other words, small victories lead to big victories. We live in a day and age in which they're still, even when I was, it kind of started when I was a kid, when they began to tell kindergartners it doesn't matter, who didn't keep score, those type of things. And I think, which is just so wrong. And all those kids kept score anyway. And when we left, Dad told us what the score was, you know, and who won and who lost. So it's not, you know, anyway, it's a bunch of hooey. So we think about in training or in winning or in increasing our faith, the small victories leading to big victories. Again, winning is important. I don't play football to lose. Right? I train to win. Now, I may know that the opponent's bigger than me or whatever the case is, but I train to win. I may know somebody's faster than me, but I train to win. I don't train to lose. Now, if I'm as a Christian, I'm going to lose gracefully and keep my testimony. Amen. I'm speaking to teenagers tonight. But it's important to win. It is important to win. I think as we, in football, you want to play a couple of teams that you know you can beat. Right, Kai? I mean, just so the guys will have that sense of winning. They know what it's like, and it's important to win. It's important to win. Small victories lead to big victories. It's amazing to me, even when we first started the church, how that God blessed. It's just amazing, amazing. In that storefront, we needed to, we had our first big day, and it was Heritage Day. Some of y'all may remember. And we saw lots of visitors and just saw a victory. And little small victories led to probably the biggest victory in the storefront was when we had the relations quartet there. And it was amazing to see that crowd. By the way, when their big bus, it was the Melody Du Bois quartet. But when that big bus drove up and they got out of their big old bus, they looked at our little building. And you could see the look on their face. They were like, what have we got ourselves into? And I never forget, I don't know if it was Brother Clark or who it was, as the quartet walked in, said, just wait. Wait till you see the crowd come in. And we just packed it out. We had 200 and it was 48 people in that little building on that Sunday morning. 248 people in the storefront. I can't tell you, we were hanging people from the ceilings. Little kids were just dangling from everywhere. It was hysteria and pandemonium. It was something. But what a great victory we experienced, and just victory after victory, and seeing souls saved. And I'll never forget baptizing Missy Walker's mother, and just a lot of great victories as we came along through there, and just a blessing to remember all the victories God has given us. And those little victories led to bigger victories, and now we see where God's brought us to. And that's the same thing that you experience in your own life. These small victories will lead to bigger victories. And we know the greatest example of that is David. Remember in 1 Samuel 17:36, he told Saul, he said, I slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall, and he goes on to say, he'd go and get it too. I love that. David says, I slew the lion and the bear, and this Philistine will see death as well. God had used the small victories in David's life to prepare him for the big victory of killing Goliath. And just remember that, if you would, as you go along in this life, that the victories you do have should lead to bigger victories. Should lead to bigger victories. I love that Sunday morning message that Brother Getz preached. You know, if you want to see a miracle in your life, you're going to have to get past the disbelief and get past the dishonor and just get past the disappointment. And be willing to roll the stone away. God's not going to send you another victory or another great miracle until you accept and believe that God is, whatever's going on in your life, that God has sent it there and God has put you in that position. And you need to get active again. Renew. Get going. Lick the wounds. Get back up. Keep on going. And God will give you victories in your life. I feel like I'm... that guy down in Houston. But you can. And I don't want to shy away from subjects like this. You can have victory in life. Absolutely. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We have been given the victory. There is victory in Jesus. And not just salvation, but victory for life. Jesus said he came to give us life and give us life more abundant. Are you living it? And it may be the devil does have you defeated tonight. Maybe the devil does have you discouraged. And boy, you just need to remember that the trial is there to increase your faith, and that as soon as you get victory over it, that victory will lead to another victory. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm glad there's victory. And then we think about, not only do we ought to read the Word of God, increase our faith, trials increase our faith, victories increase our faith, but number four is crowds increase our faith. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And in order for us to experience victory in our own lives, it absolutely plays a huge part in that. Our church family plays a part in that. Other Christians play a part in that. I'm thankful when I was a teenager that my dad was there to encourage me in sports, especially in powerlifting and other areas. And I'm thankful for the coaches I had and the encouragement I received from them. And that's what a coach is there for. There to train and to encourage, and dad and mom there to encourage us to go forward. And we need to remember that we are to be an encouragement to those around us. In other words, tonight you are not alone. One of the greatest purposes of this church, and it's up on the wall, is serving others. And that is fellowship one with another. And simply to sit down and eat, as we will next Sunday night, ice cream fellowship, by the way, just a reminder, it's going to be awesome. Next Sunday night, we'll sit down, we'll eat together. I encourage you again to sit by somebody you may not know and just be an encouragement and fellowship together. It's important that we as Christians, as we as members of Heritage, that we encourage one another. I still, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, a brother stumbled, pick him up, restore such a one. And I see so many find somebody who's down and discouraged and maybe has done something wrong. Maybe they have sinned, but it's not our job to kick them while they're down. It's our job to pick them up, to restore them, to encourage them, to pick them up. And I want to encourage you in that area to be an encouragement to those around you. I love this, and I wrote it down again. I keep saying it for years. I want to put together a sermon series on the anothers in the Bible. There's so many of them. I went back through them tonight. It says, the Bible says, exhort one another. The Bible says, edify one another. Build up each other. The Bible says, forgive one another. The Bible says, forbear one another. Y'all know that's my favorite word. That means put up with each other. I just love that word. It's awesome. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. And the Bible does say, provoke one another. And there is time for that as well, isn't there? The Bible says, honor and prefer one another. And then, of course, the biggest one, love one another. May we as Christians, in our fellowship with each other, edify and build each other up. May we never catch ourselves tearing another Christian down. The greatest advocate of anyone in a gossip ring should be the fellow Christian. Does that make sense? You're in a group and somebody begins to talk about somebody else, the greatest advocate ought to be you for that person they're talking about as a Christian. We ought to, again, encourage one another. So crowds play a big role in increasing our faith in that we have the encouragement of our pastor, the encouragement of staff, the encouragement of our Sunday school teacher, encouragement of the deacons, encouragement of our fellow Christian, and on and on. Encouragement. And let us encourage one another and increase our faith. Lastly, the Holy Spirit, of course, increases our faith. And by this I mean prayer. Prayer. Prayer acknowledges our dependence upon God. Prayer acknowledges our dependence upon the Holy Spirit. We are dependent upon Him. For without Him, we could do nothing. Right? All our power, all our abilities is given to us by way of the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, it increases our faith because it shows that we are dependent upon Him. It acknowledges that we're dependent upon Him. It will increase our faith. So the pastor gets up tonight and preaches a message he's preached 1,000 different times, but 1,000 different ways. And that is, read your Bible and pray every day. And you'll grow, grow, grow. There's a song that says that, I think. Read your Bible, pray every day. It's a kid's song. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. And we used to have to get down like this. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Did y'all ever sing that one? Yeah, that's a good one. Read your Bible, pray every day. We think about, again, renewing our commitment this year. Just want to encourage you. We've come through the Bible conference. We've come through revival meeting. We've done all the meetings in the world. But have you followed through? Have you followed through? Are you disciplined? Because a disciplined life is a life of faith. I believe that. And that kind of goes contrary to a lot of what Bible teachers out there are teaching today, which I think is contrary to Scripture on their part. It is a lot about discipline. And let us be disciplined to read the Word of God that we might grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by way of trials. Again, a plant won't grow. I know that's just a simple analogy. We've all heard it 1,000 times. A plant's not going to grow without water, without the rain. Isn't it amazing? We're going to be mowing our yards in September. This happened a few years ago. I'm like, I'm still mowing my yard. Die already. Good night. I don't want to mow that thing anymore. But in order for grass to grow, it's got to rain. And that in Texas usually means there's going to be lightning and other things that happen. And the trials of our faith certainly purify us in the fire and helps us to grow in our faith. And then, of course, victories increase our faith. And if you, no one surely who's in this room who's been a Christian very long, nearly we've all experienced some victories. And may we get past whatever the disappointment or the discouragement in our life, and may we see victory over that. And if we get victory over that, God will give us more victories and increase our faith. We just, again, step out by faith. And crowds, remembering that fellowship is important. The church is important. As we fellowship with one another, encourage one another, increases our faith. And simply prayer. Praying shows our dependence upon God. Showing our dependence upon God. Last point. And actually, this is my conclusion. I just repeated all my points. This is actually the real point, and that is trust in the Lord. Man, if you could just, if all of us would put our trust in Him, our faith would be greatly increased. I'm talking practically speaking, just saying, Lord, I trust you in whatever area in my life is going on now. I just trust you. Lord, I know you have my best interests in mind. And just putting our trust in Him, following in His steps, following His example. In other words, study the person of Christ. Study the Lord Jesus Christ, and your faith will be increased. When you're reading your Bible, remember to look for Him. And as we look for Him, the Bible says we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. When the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. When the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. And that's our goal. That's our goal as Christians. To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And how are we going to do that? Reading our Bibles. Looking for Jesus. Hearing the Word of God preached. And praying. Simple stuff. Stuff I learned in Sunday school from the time I was 4 or 5 years old. But it's so relevant for us today. The disciples said to Jesus, you could just see the wheels in their brains going around. You want us to forgive a person who's done something against us 7 times in one day and still forgive them if they repent? Lord, increase our faith. And may we go to God and say, Lord, increase our faith. So that we can simply do our duty. And follow His commands. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 161. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Heavenly Father, we do thank You today, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You that You've given us power to overcome and in our own lives. We pray that You would help us and increase our faith. Help us to be diligent in reading our Bibles and praying. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to those around us. And Lord, help us to see the trials as You see them, as a way by which we can grow. And we pray, Lord, that You would work on the hearts of our family tonight. And Lord, that You would again increase our faith. We thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 161.